This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Na'maduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'afiruh. Wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati amalina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فأما بعد فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم إن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear respected brothers, sisters, elders, إخواني وأخواتي في الإسلام, قال جل وعلا في شأن حبيب ورسول وخليل محمد مصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. الله سبحانه وتعالى said, indeed Allah سبحانه وتعالى showers his blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and his angels pray for him, for blessings to be sent onto him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered and commanded us. And he said, O believers, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. He commanded us and said, O believers, invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings upon him and salute him with salam. That is when you meet him. To send durood and salam, to send salawat on the Rasul alayhi salam, is a hukum, is an amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. There are innumerable benefits related with sending salat and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just one of them is that he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who sends salat and salam on me one time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send salam on that person 10 times. There are many more, but I think this is sufficient for us. Our problem today is we are flooded with data. We are flooded with data. Think about this. Many of us come from countries where we have one tap at the end of a street. There is no running water in the houses. There's one tap at the end of the street. And you want water, you go to the tap, you collect the water. So every morning you see a long line of people with buckets. And usually those taps leak. I've never seen any of those taps not leaking. So the tap leaks. And under the tap there is a flat rock, flat stone on which you put your bucket and the fill the water. Those flat rocks have a little depression in them. And if you look at it, that depression is where that drop of water has been falling. Now don't worry about the millions of gallons that get wasted. Forget that. Point is, drop by drop by drop, it drills a hole in a rock. But if you calculate the number of gallons of water that is dripping from this tap and you bring that 5,000 gallons in a tanker and you flood that stone, nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. That's our problem. We are flooded with stuff. We are flooded with stuff, including the Muslims who are interested in Islam. There's no dearth of data. We have data and more data and more data, but unfortunately, the heart is still a flat rock. So I remind myself, when you take one thing, live with it. Take one thing and practice it. Allah will not ask us, how much did you know? He will ask us, what did you do with what you learned? It doesn't matter if you're not Hafiz Quran. Alhamdulillah, we all want to be. Forget that. But if you are Hafiz of the Quran, and you are Hafiz of the Siyasita, all the six kitabs of hadith, and you are Hafiz of this and that and the other. But in your and my amal, in our actions, in our daily lives, you can't see any reflection of that. All of that knowledge is like that 5,000 gallons of water falling on the rock. It flows away. The rock is the rock. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from ourselves. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised and blessed. And the malaika sent blessings upon him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered all Muslims until the end of time to do the same. What can be more honorable than that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised, and we invoke this promise of his Jalla Jalaluhu, where he said, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, but Allah, O my Nabi, but Allah will never punish them while you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are among them. And nor would he ever punish them as long as they seek forgiveness, as long as they make istighfar. To have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with us today means to have his sunnah in our lives. As far as possible, to look like him, walk like him, talk like him, deal with people like him, speak like him, do what he used to do. Because remember, even when he was physically present, his companions, his sahaba, were only those who believed in him and followed him. His companions are only those who believed in him as the Rasul, as the Messenger of Allah, and who followed him. Not those who were physically in his presence, but didn't follow him, or didn't believe in him. Not even those who believed him, meaning they believed that he was truthful, but they did not follow him, they did not believe in him. We had all these three kinds of people. You had people who believed in him and who followed him. We had people who believed that he was truthful, so they believed him, but they did not believe in him. They did not believe that he was the Messenger of Allah. And the third people who did not believe in him, and they did not follow him either. Out of these three, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, after whose name we say radiyallahu anhu or radiyallahu anha, are only those who believed in him and who followed him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reiterated the position of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reiterated and emphasized and said, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred on the believers a great favor by raising a messenger from among them. Double honor that Allah raised a messenger, and the messenger is one of the same people, one of us, he was a human being. reciting to them his revelation, the revelation of the Quran, purifying them, tazkiyatun nafs wa tarbiyatul akhlaq, internal and external purification, teaching them the book, ta'limul kitab, wal hikmah, the wisdom, the practice of what he taught them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasized and reiterated and said, wa in kanu min qablu lafi dalalin mubin. I won't go into the grammar of that. Allah is mentioning, reiterating and re-emphasizing the same thing 3-4 times, just by the grammar of the ayah. Allah is saying that before that, they had been misguided. Indeed, they had previously been clearly misguided. There is no guidance without Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's understand this very, very clearly. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to navigate us to Jannah at least 17 times a day. That is the number of rakat in the 5 farz salawat, 17 rakat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the dua. We said, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the guidance to sirat al-mustaqim. And he gave us Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he told us to follow his way. But then, do we follow the way? Do we follow that direction? Or do we follow something else? That direction is called the sunnah. We asked for it, Allah gave it. Let us not get deceived by anyone or anything and leave the sunnah, because that is the only way to Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that the life of this world is deception. The truth, the reality hides behind what is apparent. That is what we must see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us, and we must heed that warning. So we need to question everything that we see or experience and understand its reality. And that is why we have the dua asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us the reality behind things. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan wa arzuqna ittiba'a wa arina al-batila batilan wa arzuqna ijtinaba. O Allah, show us the truth as the truth, and inspire us and guide us to follow it, and show us falsehood as falsehood, and inspire us to abstain from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his infinite mercy, didn't leave us guessing and inventing our own ways to deal with the matrix, the ultimate deception. He sent a guide and an entire pilot program as proof of concept that Islam works in all times. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the sunnah to be preserved with such amazing integrity. We owe a debt of gratitude to all those who, through the ages, starting from the Sahaba, the companions of Rasulullah, who preserved the minutest details of the life and the ways and the teachings and the likes and the dislikes of Rasulullah for the benefit of all those who want to learn and follow. This gave rise to an entire body of knowledge called Ilmur Rijal, the knowledge of the people, all the people who narrated the hadith all the way to Nabi Sallallahu. This body of knowledge, Ilmur Rijal, has no parallel. There is no history of anyone or any place in the world that has been preserved with such rigor and passion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to benefit from the treasure of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he blessed us with. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best example to follow. He said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah said, indeed, in the Messenger of Allah, you have an excellent example for whoever has hope in Allah, whoever hopes to meet Allah and the last day and remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a great deal. I remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an amazing life that encompassed every aspect of human existence, from the individual to the family, to business, to employment, to building a community, to creating laws, to commanding an army, to ruling a state, everything. And he told us to follow the way of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect of our lives. Selective obedience is disobedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands complete obedience. And he said that this is for those who look forward to the meeting with Allah. The meeting with Allah will happen whether you look forward to it or not. But those who look forward to it will be those who hope that meeting to be the best meeting of their lives. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that for all of us. For those who do it out of love of Rasulullah, who follow him out of their love for him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to love them and directed his messenger Muhammad to announce this. And he said, "Qul, say, in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukumu Allah wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wallahu ghafurur rahim." He said, which means, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say, O Prophet, if you sincerely love Allah, he's saying to people, if you really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then emulate me, imitate me, follow me, and Allah will love you and forgive your sins. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving, all merciful. Emulation is the most sincere form of praise, and it is the evidence of love. The reward of that is Allah will love us. I suggest you stay with that feeling for a minute. Ask yourself, what does it mean for Allah to love me? Ask yourself, is it worth it? Seriously, is it really worth it? Ask yourself. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد My brothers and sisters, the life of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is a sea of knowledge for anyone who wants to learn. His life has stood the test of time, which preserves the histories of people as interesting stories, but destroys their relevance with time. Not so the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, which continues to remain relevant for anyone who wants to extract lessons from it with the sincere desire to implement them in his life. His life is living proof that his way works and can transform our lives today. There are many lessons in the life of Rasulullah ﷺ to learn from. But I want to talk about three out of that one today, and that is, first one, justice for all. In his dealings, justice for all. Number two, that character defines net worth, not money. Character defines net worth. And three, the willingness to forgive everyone. The willingness to forgive everyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kunu qawwameena bil qisti shuhada'a lillahi, walau ala anfusikum, awil walidaini wal aqrabin, in yakun ghaniyan aw faqira, fallahu awla bihima. فَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا الْهَوَىٰ أَن تَعْدِلُوا وَإِن تَلُوُوا أَوْ تُعْرِضُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, O believers, stand firm for justice as witnesses for Allah, even if it is against yourselves. Be a witness for justice against yourself before Allah. If required, against your parents or your close relatives, be they rich or poor. Allah is the best to ensure their and your interests. So do not let your desires cause you to deviate from justice. If you distort the testimony or refuse to give testimony, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is certainly all aware of what you do. I recall many years ago, when Harvard Law School put this ayah on their wall as the finest statement of justice in the world, Muslims sent it to everyone on their list. I got this on WhatsApp and on whatever else multiple times from multiple people. And as I read it, I wondered if those sending it did that after reflecting, for example, on the way we treat others. What about brothers swallowing the inheritance of their sisters? What about how children treat elderly parents? What about how we treat common spaces? Where when you enter a bathroom, a public bathroom, you can say if a Muslim has been there before you or not. Because if a Muslim has been there before you, it would look like New Orleans after Katrina. Like a flooded place. What about leaving half-filled water bottles in the masjid? We pay for that. We drink half the bottle, dump the rest of it. Even though we have been reminded a million times. What about how we enter a masjid, turn on every light, every fan, and then we walk away? I can go on, but I think this is enough. Or should I mention how we park our cars? I should know. Parking on people's driveways, parking on people's lawns, across driveways, how we leave our shoes. I won't ask you to go and look in the lobby there and see how we left them just now. I remind myself and you that it's not about quoting the Quran or Hadith. The problem is not with the Quran. The problem is not with the Sunnah. It is with us. It is what we do. It is how we practice that. There are many instances in the seerah which show that Rasulullah ﷺ did not hold himself and his family apart from the principle of justice, and nor did he claim to be above it. This was not only in contrast to the global principle of the time when rulers and nobility were not subject to the same laws as the public, but it contrasts with the present-day sometimes stated but always practiced principle of treating the rich and powerful differently from ordinary people. This non-partisan, objective and impartial application of the law is what sets Islam apart and is something that we need to re-establish. Islam does not just leave justice and honesty as a value to be quietly espoused. It demands that we stand up for it. On the authority of Abu Sayyid al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu, he said, I heard Rasulullah saying, whoever of you sees an evil, let him change it with his hand. And if he is not able to do so, let him change it with his tongue, meaning speak out against that evil. And if he is not able to do even that, then hate it in his heart. And that is the weakest of faith. And this is in Sahih Muslim. Rasulullah is also reported to have said, verily, from the greatest jihad, from the greatest of struggles, is to speak the word of truth in the presence of a tyrannical ruler. I remind myself and you, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put the love of Rasulullah in our hearts and to remember the hadith of Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, very beautiful hadith. He said a man came and he asked Rasulullah about the hour of the day of judgment. He said, when will the hour be established? Rasulullah ﷺ asked him, what have you prepared for it? The man said, Ya Rasulullah, nothing except that I love Allah and I love His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah ﷺ said to him, then you will be with those you love. You will be with those you love. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu says, we had never been more happy than we were on that day on hearing that. And then he says about himself, he says, therefore I love Rasulullah ﷺ, and I love Abu Bakr, and I love Umar radiallahu anhuma, and I hope that I will be with them because of my love for them, though my deeds are not like theirs. I remind myself and you that these kinds of statements of the Sahaba are statements of their humility and humbleness. When the Sahabi says, I have no amal, it doesn't mean that. These were not people who were missing their salah. These were not people dealing in interest. These were not people buying and selling haram. These were not people oppressing others. These were people who were fulfilling all their farai to the level of excellence and doing more. But their humbleness was such that when the Rasul alayhi salam asked them, what have you prepared? They say, Ya Rasulullah, I have nothing. So remember that when we talk about loving Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is not simply enough to make claims. The love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not singing nasheed. It is not celebrating this and that. It is not, you know, doing all the stuff we do. To love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam means to live our lives the way he lived his life. In the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is love for Allah or love for the for his Habib, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands evidence, demands proof. And that proof is our actions. Like I said in my last khutbah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Yasin, the limbs will speak, the hands and feet will speak, the skin will speak. The only thing which will not speak is the tongue. So all our smart arguments today won't work. We need the amal. We need to love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to prove that love by our actions, by our behavior. And we can start that by not lying to ourselves. Stop telling lies to yourself. We can start that by forgiving everyone against whom we hold a grudge. Whatever be the nature of the grudge, believe me, whatever that person did to you is less than what people did to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many of you here are among those who were stoned until you bled? Anybody? And I can go on, but I won't. When he could forgive, what about us? I recently read, somebody sent me something on social media, and I don't know who the guy is, but some famous guy. He became Muslim. So they asked him why. He said, I was reading the biography of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, I read about this woman called Hind, radiallahu anha. And I read that she was instrumental and she paid somebody else, and he forgot the name of Al-Wahshi, radiallahu anhu. She paid someone to kill the uncle of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib, radiallahu anhu. And then when the uncle had been killed, this woman went onto the battlefield and she ripped open his chest and she pulled out his heart and she bit the heart and she mutilated him. I mean, imagine what kind of horrible actions. And then as I continued to read, he said, I came to the part of Fatah Makkah when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and conquered Makkah. And he said, I was looking to see, now what does Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam do with this Hind? Because this is the woman who caused him so much pain and so much suffering, and she had his uncle assassinated and she personally mutilated him and so on and so forth. So I was looking to see, what does he do with her? And he said, I was waiting to see what maybe Julius Caesar would have done, which is have her impaled or have her crucified or burnt, or you know, burnt at stake or something. And he says, to my surprise, he did nothing. He forgave them. He said, he forgave this woman. He forgave this woman. And he said, that is where my heart turned. That is where my heart turned. The man became Muslim not because of some clever debate or something, or some, you know, complicated, complex matala or argument of fiqh or Islamic law. He changed because he saw forgiveness. He said, how can somebody forgive someone like this? If someone forgives someone like that, that is who I want to be like. Clean your hearts. Clean your hearts. Whoever you don't like, after this khutbah today, pick up the phone, call them. Tell them, I love you for the sake of Allah. Let them die in shock, no problem. You want them dead anyway, right? Pick up the phone. Talk to them. Talk to your wives. Talk to your husbands. Tell them you love them. When was the last time you told your wife that you love her? In our culture, we don't do this kind of stuff, right? We laugh at this. Some people make remarks at these white people. Eh? We got my friends sitting at the back there. They always say, I love you. Why should I say, I love you? She knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, tell me. Allah said, tell me you are thankful to me. So Allah doesn't know. It's not about them, it's about me.
Tell them. Go tell them you love them. Forgive them. Forgive them because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgave more. Forgive them because we want Allah to forgive us. Ask forgiveness. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to fill our hearts with His noor and with the hope of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live a life which is pleasing to Him and which is on the path that is shown and was shown by His Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us on the day when He takes us in a state where He is pleased with us, in a way that He is pleased with us, which shows that He is pleased with us, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that day and that meeting the best day and the best meeting of our lives. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين آمين يا رب العالمين. يا عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عذر يستجيب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أتقوا السلام.